was cancer or whatever, is that God heard those prayers.
Amen.
And he will respond back. May not be in our timing, but he will respond because he's such a wonderful and great God. He's our good father.
Woo. Amen. Listen to all right. We had to do station ID right there. I just pushed the phone thinking it was Megan that was joining us, and it was a caller. And we would just encourage you, caller, whoever you are, to just go to your email or text, and I'll give you that number in a moment. Because we do these prayer requests through the email because we keep track of them that way. And again, as Betty said, it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. And the text number is 727-888-4171. I'll give those to you again. And then when Megan's ready to come on, Megan, please just text me and let me know. 727-888-4171. And also prayers@bohmglobal.com. Nan, I wanted you to mention how that prayer meeting affected you last week, because it did, didn't it?
Oh, man, it was such a powerful time. I have not been involved with anything quite like that in as long as I can remember. That's how long it's been. And us having that and it being directed of the Lord and us having that, and, I mean, 45, we individually prayed over every one.
Yes.
Of those prayer requests.
Yes,
we
everyone.
We didn't say, okay, God, here's 45, and pray. No, everyone. We
every
prayed
single
over.
One. Yes.
Everyone. And, you know, we prayed different, even for each other at different times, and how the Lord moved. And it was a very moving experience that I'm very happy that I was involved with and will look forward to any others in the future. And I would say I looked at the clock at the end, 3 hours.
3 hours
of
power.
It was 3 hours. It didn't seem like 3 hours, you know?
Well,
some people might go, wow, how can you do that for 3 hours? Well, we did, and it was great.
It was. And I really do feel that within another 6 weeks or so, we'll have another one. And those that can will gather in my living room, and the others will go on Skype. And we will do this again because it was powerful. And those of you who send in requests, please send your praise reports when you get the answers, because God is moving. I was looking in my little book I carry where I write down all of these requests, and I was seeing all of the ones over last year that I've checked off that got answered. And I'm telling you, God is answering prayer. So send in your requests. It's not that we're special. We don't think we're special. We just think that we believe in prayer, and we just believe that God answers prayer. So send your request, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and the text-in number comes directly to my phone, 727-888-4171. And we're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with two of our radio team members, Betty up in Indiana, and Nan right here from Beacon of Hope here. We're all from Beacon of Hope. We just have Beacon of Hope scattered in different parts of the globe now. Part of that, somebody asked me the other day, how come some of your radio team members are not in Clearwater? Well, because they live up there, they live someplace else, or they've moved from here to other places. We have had so many of our church family move away in the last few years due to job relocations and changes because of the recession and all of that. So we still have connections with a lot of our former, what we call Beaconites, who are still Beaconites from a distance. So that's why. And I pastored a church in Indiana that Betty and her daughter Megan were a part of many years ago. And Cindy Logan, who's also part of our radio team, is going to be on next week. They were a part of that church. So we've kept connections with people. And so we are a global ministry. We're not a local church. In fact, 2 years ago, God directed that for us to, 2.5 years ago, to give up our building. And I got to tell you, Betty and Nan, because you went through it with me, it was really hard for me to do that. Hard for me to get rid of our big, beautiful platform and some of our stuff. And we have some things in storage. But God said that the emphasis was changing, and it has. We have this show. We have our Thursday night counseling show every week at 6 o'clock on this radio station, 6:06 p.m. It's called Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life, because I'm a big baseball enthusiast. with Dr. Angel Falzoni, who is also one of our radio team members here, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Betty, would you comment on Go Yard and what that's meant to your life? We've been on the air now 2.5 years for that show.
Well, I haven't missed too many of those shows, and if I do miss them, I go back on and listen to them later on. And I think one of the things that I've learned from Go Yard is that it's so practical. It's practical information for very serious issues. And some of the things have really helped me personally in learning how, just recently, how to deal with habits. One of my habits that I'm trying to break and Go Yard is helping me through Mama Mac and Dr. Angel's information is I'm obsessed with eating. If I get stressed out, I eat. If I'm hungry, that's okay. But when I'm stressed, I eat. When I'm at a computer, I eat. So just some of the words that you have talked about, you've given practical knowledge to some very difficult issues. And one of my issues is a habit that I want to break, and that's the love of food. So I appreciate you very much, and I know that the listeners would be able to help. It would help them to listen. There are so many shows on different subjects that might be dealing with a problem that you're having. I suggest you listen.
Amen. And that's goyard2014.org is our website, which is going to go through some revamping soon. But there's 2.5 years of shows right there. Goyard2014.org, and also heard live every Thursday night right here on tantalknetwork.com. And at 6:06 p.m. Thursday evening, it's an hour-long show. The last two shows were on habits, make them or break them. So those shows are right here on podcast. Come to www.tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and you'll find those, a two-part series on habits, make them or break them. Got a new topic this Thursday night we're excited about. Dr. Angel's a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor and has a lot of people that work under her, and she comes with a whole lot of expertise. Nan, it's been really a blessing, hasn't it, this show? You really listen quite a bit yourself. Well, last week you called in.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I wanted to share that if I could. You know, it was a two-part series. So the first part I was listening to, and y'all were talking about habits and making them, breaking them, whatever you needed to do with it, you know, making good habits or breaking bad habits. And so I identified, well, there's several habits I have, but y'all mentioned to take one on at a time. So mine is being on time.
So
I made a concerted effort that everywhere I was supposed to be that week, that I would try to be early so that I could be on time. And I realized my problem with being on time is I don't allow the time necessary for whatever I need to do before I'm going wherever I'm going. I don't allow enough time to do that. I shortchange the time.
Right.
And I was supposed to go to an event with my parents yesterday. And I figured I was going to be 15 minutes early was my goal. Well, you know what? I was just finished getting ready when they pulled up to pick me up. And I'm like, darn it, I didn't. But at least I made it on time.
There you go.
I at least made it on time. So that's a positive out of it.
Yes.
I wasn't early, but because I was trying to be early, I made it on time. So that is a habit that I'm working with is to maybe try to be a few minutes early to things.
Well, that's cool. It's great to have that personal experience. So Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. with me, my other name, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel, every Thursday night, Go Yard. On Saturday, we have an affiliation with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So every Saturday morning, beginning at 10, you can hear this show, Living the Good Life, followed by the Go Yard show for that week at noon, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So if you miss it here, you can catch it there. Also, I do a Spanish show. That's another story for another time. We'll talk about that later. We have a radio station, Beacon of Hope does now, in Puebla, Mexico. And it's called Libre Soy, LibreSoy, which means free I am. LibreSoy.mx. We've just changed the website address. LibreSoy.mx. So catch that out if you can speak Spanish. And my shows are on there in Spanish at 9 a.m. Okay, so there's where we are. We're going to start the second hour with this wonderful song, Potter's Hand. It's an old song, but it says what I want to hear, what we should be hearing today for the show, Potter's Hand. We're glad you're joining us today.
Beautiful, wonderful Savior, I know for sure. All of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit.
Praise God. I love that old song, Potter's Hand. That's what we're talking about here today, that God wants to mold us and make us and change us and help us deal with those things in our lives that we need to ask forgiveness for, old habits, old ways of thinking that need to change in our lives. We've been in John 13 in the first hour, and we were talking so much about the fact that Jesus did this foot washing to give us a picture of what he wants to do, that the word of God is called in Ephesians 5, the water of the word, and that we can be cleansed by washing of the water of the word, because the word of God gets down on the inside of us and points out things in our lives that need to change. And Nan, I want to go to you first and then Betty about that whole subject, about how does the word do that? And what are we talking about here? And what was Jesus trying to tell the disciples that last night before he went to the cross?
Well, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he used parables to speak to the people and to help them to understand simplistically what he was trying to say. He was actually speaking of a higher level type of thing, but he would speak it simplistically so that everyone could understand and have a visual situation of being able to remember what he said he would do. And, you know, the Bible, you know, the Bible is filled with so much of the good things, you know, the good things of what we can have or how we can behave or what is done in our lives, you know. And like that song was just saying, he's the potter, we're the clay. And
Amen.
Sometimes we don't necessarily understand why he's molding us the way he is.
Isn't that true?
And we don't necessarily understand that, you know, at the time. But then we can look back at a later time in our life and say, aha, yeah, that's why he was doing what he was doing. Aha, now I get the picture.
Now I get it.
At the time, we don't get the picture. If I may, I'd also, the Lord gave me a poem during that song.
Yes, go ahead.
If I may read that.
Go ahead.
It says, be mindful that I'm the potter and that you are the clay I mold. Trust me that I'm in control. To my directions you can hold. I have a mighty plan for your life. So many lives I will touch through you. Believe me that I am in control. I will guide you at all your to-do.
Praise God.
You will be a mouthpiece for me. I am the potter who molds you. Believe that I am in control. So many wonderful things for you I will do. And it was interesting the way he inspired this is in every verse there was made reference to believe me that I'm in control. And, you know, there may be people listening going, well, the word says that I can have such and such, such and such, but I don't see how God's in control of this situation because here's the way it looks and here's what's happening, and I don't get it. I don't understand.
Right.
That's where trust comes in.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's where we learn that he can be trusted, that he's faithful to his word and faithful to his promises. He was speaking that to me very strongly this morning as I was studying and just spending time in his presence about the promises are there for a reason, and we have to trust that he's telling us the truth. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, I was just sitting here contemplating what y'all have been talking about. And one of the things I just kind of had a little bit of a vision is that when we're in God's hands, we are the clay, and his water keeps us pliable.
Yes.
So that he can mold us into
right.
what he wants for us. But once we get out of the potter's hands and we don't have that washing of the word in us, we become dry
right.
and brittle. And not able to maybe hear what God wants for us, and that we're out trying to do our own thing, thinking that, well, you know, God hasn't heard my prayers. I'm just going to go ahead, and we get impatient and
we
go
do.
About our own way.
Yep.
And God's putting up probably all kinds of signs and stop signs to say, hey, wait, listen to me, wait on me. You know, listen to that still small voice, people. That can still resonate within you. And the potter and the clay have always meant so much to me. And I know when we were at your home these last few days, I saw your sister's writings, Jan.
Yes, yes.
And I saw the picture that had the most impact on me was the potter's hands
mm-hmm.
with the clay.
Yeah.
And how callous and how nail scarred his hands are
right.
and how he's still able to shape us and mold us into the wonderful people that he wants us to be.
Amen. Amen. And one of the ways he does that is that he teaches us the importance of repentance. Repentance says, okay, I messed up and I'm sorry, Lord, and I need you to forgive me. One of the biggest, chapters, or probably not the biggest, most important, I suppose, chapters on this is Psalm 51. And I want us to go there because David was talked about by God as being a man after God's own heart. David was a little shepherd boy. He was the eighth son of Jesse. When God was picking the second king of Israel, God actually picked David, not all the big, strong brothers of David that the priest thought would be the one. But instead, Samuel just kept saying, don't you have another son? It's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. This is all in 1 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. And finally, Jesse says, well, I have one more. It's my youngest. It's David. He's out taking care of my sheep. Brought him in. He goes, oh, this is the one. Why? Because David, even though small in stature, somewhat frail in some ways at this age, he was only 14, 15, 16, something like that. He had a heart after God because he had spent time with God, with the sheep, and he knew God's voice. And dear one, if we are going to be what God wants us to be, we've got to hear his voice. We've got to know what his heart is. We've got to know his nature. We've got to know the power of his nature, the power of his name. This is so important. And David knew that, yet David made some serious mistakes in his life. Why? Because he was human. And one of those was having an adulterous affair with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed so that he could marry her. Pretty bad, right? Even in our standards today, pretty bad. But God got a hold of his heart, and David realized he had really sinned. And Psalm 51 is written by David when he begins to understand that he needs God to forgive him. And it starts out, I'm in the Message Bible, Psalm 51, verse 1. Generous in love, God give grace. So you see, David knew the nature of God. Knew that he was generous in love and that he was full of grace, okay? Huge in mercy. Wipe out my bad record. Boy, that says a lot right there. I got to go to both of you about those two lines. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Nan, talk to me about that. So needed in all of our lives, right?
Well, yes. And kind of to allude to part of what I said earlier, we sometimes don't think, how can you do that? Look at what I've done. You know, and he will wipe it away. You know, the example of David, I love that particular passage. It's just so powerful, you know, because he was known as having a heart after God. And he really made some very sinful situations there. But he asked God to forgive him, and that shows his heart. And it shows his heart of where he was.
Amen.
And the closeness that he knew, you know, he had with God. He knew that he could come to him and say, please forgive me. I have really messed up.
Amen.
Please forgive me. And, you know, we can do the same thing.
Yes.
If we mess up, you know, I always say that I beat myself up better than anyone else ever does. You know, if I've done something wrong, you know, I sit there and kind of, I don't want to say wallow in it, but say, but I don't think, you know, God can forgive this attitude I had in this situation, or this emotion that I'm feeling in this situation. You know, is wrong, is bad. I shouldn't do that. But yet, you know, he will forgive when you ask him to forgive, and he goes on and forgets it. It's like in the past. And as humans, we have difficulty sometimes leaving things in the past, but we need to be able to do that in order to be able to move on and become in the potter's hands, become the beautiful clay piece made into a beautiful, you know, whatever you're being made, a vessel, being made into a beautiful vessel. We could do that by asking God's forgiveness.
Amen. It's critical that we learn to ask for forgiveness and that we desire to repent of those things we know to not be right that we've done. Talk to us about this, Betty.
Well, this resonates the Lord's compassion, that no matter what we've done, that his mercy and his grace blots out, that's what I had written here in my Bible, it blots out all of the bad things or all of the transgressions that we have so added up. And again, he pushes it away. He puts it in a sea of forgetfulness. He makes us again, like you said before, whiter than snow, that he cleanses us. And when he cleanses us, he washes it all away so that it's not there anymore. And he's such a gracious God. He's such a, his unfailing love is what resonates here, especially in that first verse, is how much that
Amen.
He's so generous. He's so giving.
Amen.
And to be able to forgive us of some pretty nasty stuff.
Right. Amen. Woo. I'm going to play a song right now by Chris Tomlin that's a little different in a way. But God talks about us being his temple, his city. We are the habitation of God Almighty. This song is God of the City, and I feel that it's so important that we realize that God wants to be the God of our lives. Everything that entails, our work, our children, our relationships, our family life, our friends, our attitudes, our behavior, our hobbies. He wants to be the God of your city. You are the city. You are a habitation of Almighty God if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Listen to this song. It speaks to my heart every time I hear it. I love it, by Chris Tomlin.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like I. There's no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city, you're the King of this people, you're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like I. Greater things have yet to come, and greater.
Yes, I love that song. Greater things are still to be done. And the way we are going about having greater things happen in our lives is to really understand this whole concept of repentance, that God does want to do greater things through us, to us. He wants us to walk around not bogged down by our past, our sin, our shame, and things like that. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free to live the life that he has designed for us. We're going back to Psalm 51, and it starts out one more time. Generous in love, God, give mercy. Huge in mercy. I mean, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. These were the words of David. You're the one I've violated. You know, that's so often, yes, we hurt other people by our sins, but also it grieves the heart of God. And he says here, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. He says this, I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. When you're what you're after is truth from the inside out. We played that song earlier, from the inside out. Enter me then, conceive a new true life. Verse 7 of Psalm 51, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean, and scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Talk to us, Betty. Woo, praise God.
You know, we always talk about, you know, whiter than snow. I always think of OxyClean.
Me too, because I use it in my laundry, and you know that.
Yeah, we go in dingy, and we go in with a lot of stains. But once that water, once the living water washes over us, we come out clean. Mm-hmm. We come out fresh.
Yes.
Like a breath of fresh air. We can breathe again without feeling that heaviness in our head and in our chest. Is that we can say, okay, the chains are broken.
Amen.
I've been set free. And or if you want to look at it with another analogy, is look at it as a piece of paper that you want to get rid of, and you give it over to God, and he shreds it just like a paper shredder, and it's gone. You can't put it back together. It's gone.
Amen.
And that's what the power of forgiveness does.
Yes.
Is that it takes the heaviness off of us. It takes the heaviness off of the Lord, because it makes him sad when we do some really, you know, when we sin, and it makes him happy to say, thank you. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you that you have let me, make you a new creature, that I've made your life a little bit more simplistic because you've asked for forgiveness. And that song by, I forget who it is, but the one who forgiveness sets free is you, or it's me.
Yeah. Praise God. And that's what it's all about. Getting to a place in our life where we realize that we need forgiveness from God. We need to be cleansed on a daily basis, sometimes a moment by moment. Lord, that wasn't a good attitude. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Right then, you're forgiven. You know, talk to us, Nan. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean.
Well, you know, there are times that there are times that I get a little short with people. It doesn't happen very often, but when I deal with situations, usually it's at work and someone's doing something stupid, I react and respond to that, and shouldn't. I shouldn't do the response that I do. Then I feel guilty about it. I beat myself up about it. And I remind myself, okay, now you're here and you're claiming Christianity. What kind of witness did you just give by speaking at them the way you did, in a harsh way or whatever, you know? You have to make things right. You need to go back and ask, you know, for forgiveness. You need to ask God to forgive you. You know, like I said earlier, I will beat myself up more than anybody else will if I mess up about something, you know. We don't need to do that. We can just ask his forgiveness as David did, and then go ahead and move forward. He washes us white as snow. That is done and over with, and we can move forward in the way that we're supposed to be conducting ourselves.
Oh, amen. And don't you think it's humbling to realize that we do need to ask for forgiveness? Sometimes our pride gets in the way and we think, well, they deserve the way I talked to them, or they deserve the way I said that, or whatever the case may be. But we are constantly told by Scripture that we are to live a life of love. We're to live a life of bearing with people, you know, and tender mercy. We're to give away mercy and grace in our lives. I love the way this says down in verse 10. Well, verse 7 in the Message Bible we read said, "Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life." And we used the hashtag Wednesday night for our Facebook post, Whiter Than Snow, because in the New American Standard and King James, it says, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And that is really beautiful snow when it comes down and when it's fresh and it is beautiful. That's the kind of way our heart can be whiter than snow when we live in a constant state of when the Holy Spirit shows us there's something that we need to ask for forgiveness for or ask somebody else to forgive us for. When we live in that kind of an attitude, we can live in this soul thing of having whiter than snow heart. Down in verse 10, God made a fresh start in me. And I love it in the New American Standard. I memorized it in the New American Standard a long time ago, verse 10 of Psalm 51. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's my prayer. Betty, talk to us.
Well, you know, that one scripture basically just sums it up, is that if you've ever had a heavy heart, that you've held on to something way too long, and once that the Holy Spirit comes over you, that heart is so much lighter. It beats so much freer. You don't have the heaviness that comes with sin. And once you're forgiven, and once you've let it go, and you've let it go completely, you've laid it at the foot of the cross, it does. It creates something in you that you want to do better. You want to try to please God more than you did before. And I think that's what God wants us to be, is we want to be more like him. We want to have the heart of compassion. And you can't have that if you have a bunch of junk that's, you know, in your trunk and you can't get rid of it. You can't get any more in it because you're stuffing it full of dumb stuff. And I know that sounds kind of elementary, but once you clean out your car, once you clean out your trunk, is that it gives you a feeling of gladness, you know. It gives you that feeling of cleanliness. It makes you feel, it makes you more brighter. It gives you a better outlook once all that junk is gone. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I love going to the car wash, and I go every maybe couple weeks, and usually it's after the sand has accumulated too much in my car and I can't take it anymore. Or it just feels dirty and I just need to get it cleaned up. And when I pull out of that car wash, that is a wonderful feeling. It's all clean inside and out. Love it. Love that feeling. And that is what God wants us to love. He wants us to love the feeling and the knowledge that we're clean before him, that he has cleansed us from our sin, and that he has made us new. And you know, the gospel is so simple, really. It is, if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we ask him to forgive us for anything and everything we've ever said or done that wasn't pleasing to him, and if we are sincere about wanting him to come in and live on the inside of us and get rid of that stuff, that old junk, and if, like David, we say, you know, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." You know, "Soak me in your laundry, I'll come out clean. Scrub me." You know, if that's the attitude of our heart, our life will change drastically when that is our attitude. Talk to us, Nan.
Our our life does change drastically when we do that. Y'all were talking about the car. So let's talk about the car for a second. You know how I managed to collect my stuff, and I have stuff in my car.
You have a few things in your car, just a couple.
Yeah, a few things in my car, yeah. And that's become kind of a running joke with the people at Beacon. But,
right.
There's been times that I thoroughly cleaned out the car because it was going to the shop to get worked on, and I didn't want anybody possibly stealing any of my stuff. And, you know, y'all were talking about how things seem so fresh and clean. When I get that thing totally cleaned out and armor all down and everything, it's like, wow, this is really cool, you know? It's so drastic a feel
it
from
is.
That versus the stuff in my car.
Right, yeah.
And we have to get to a point that, ooh, I got it. Ooh, God just gave it to me. We have to get to a point in our life that we want to change that.
Right.
Other people can want it changed for you. Other people can tell you, hey, you can have this great gift of God. Hey, you're entitled to be able to have this from God or that from God. But until we say to ourselves, that is something that is I can have, I want that, God, it's not going to get in there.
You
and that's the way it is kind of with a car. You know, people have lovingly encouraged me, you need to straighten your car out.
I'm one of those that's lovingly encouraged you, right?
I think as of recently, a couple days ago.
I have lovingly encouraged you, yes.
Yes, you have. Thank you. You know, but I need to get to that point. I'm getting there, but I need to get to that point that I am saying, okay, now I need to do this. And that's what people need to say in their lives. You know, now.
Yes.
This is not, my car having stuff in it is not a thing of need to ask forgiveness. But it can parallel to that, you know, when we ask for forgiveness, you know, we become white as snow. We've already talked about that. And we need to want that for ourselves.
Right.
Our mothers can want it for us. Our pastors can want it for us. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord can want it for us. But until we move forward and do what we need to do, we're not going to get it.
Well, so you're saying it's a decision that we individually make and nobody can make for us, correct? And that's
correct.
Why David here in Psalm 51 is saying to God, you know, he doesn't say, well, I just have somebody else want this for me. He says, you do it for me, Lord. This is my desire. And just like Peter, when Jesus said, wait a minute, if I don't wash you, you can't really be on the team. You can't really be a part of everything I have for you. And then Peter says, wash me, okay, yeah, everything. Wash my mind, wash my attitudes, wash everything about me. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, just like David said. And David had a heart after God. So talk to us, Betty.
Well, it honors me to be able to have a God who wants me to walk in forgiveness. He wants me to walk in love.
Right.
He creates in me a clean heart. He gives me a sense of humor because laughter is like medicine.
Yeah, it is.
And he gives us so much that we take for granted. And it honors me to be able to have, to be able to be a part of something so big and so wonderful as the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't have him, I don't know where I'd be.
Right.
I would be a lost soul. But thank goodness for John 3:16, and I repeat this probably every show, that, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And that why we do what we do today, even on the radio, is because we love the Lord so much.
Right.
And we look forward to that day where we could live with him forever.
Because when we can live with him forever, we are going to realize that that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship him all the time, just like he wants for us to do now. And it's so much easier to worship God when we have clean attitudes and clean heart and we know that we're right with God. Listen to this song, Made to Worship, by Chris Tomlin.
day before the light, before the world revolved around the sun. God on high stepped down into time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder so that we always remember. You and I made to worship. You and I called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. You and I embrace surrender. You and I choose to believe that you and I will see who we were meant to be. All we are and all we have is all a gift from God.
Amen. We were meant to be. We were meant to learn to worship and learn to be everything that God has for us to be. That's who we were meant to be. Talk to me about that, Nan. I love that song. That just really blesses my heart every time I hear it. Woo!
It's a very good song. And in the midst of that, the Lord gave me a poem I'd like to share.
Sure, go ahead.
I have learned so much. It's from the person, a viewpoint of the people listening. At the end of the prayer, I want them just to say their name as if they are speaking this to God themselves. I have learned so much today. This is what I now pray. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and of a wonderful life now begin. I praise you for who you are. I know you're with me and not far. I want your, my life to bring you much glory, for I desire to share my story. I want to cheer others along, letting them know that they're not alone. And, you know,
wow,
people,
good word.
As we ask God to forgive, Christ to forgive us of our sins, and we're forgiven, we can share that story with other people
mm-hmm.
who
Yes.
And we can kind of cheer them along. And what I thought of when that came, cheer them along, I went with my mother and my father to a Relay for Life event yesterday. That's for cancer awareness and raising money for cancer research. And I'll try not to cry. One of the things they had are the survivors and the caregivers. We had sashes and all this kind of stuff to walk the track one time. And we were walking the track, and it was so cool because there were people all along the lines cheering, clapping, you know,
wow.
encouraging.
Right.
You, okay, you're a survivor. That's great. You're a caregiver. That's great. We cheer you on, clapping, hooping and hollering. It was very, very
wow.
moving for me. And that's the way it is in our lives.
Yes.
I can encourage you. I can lift you up. I can
yeah.
tell you it's going to be okay. I can tell you, yes, you need to ask forgiveness for your sins, but you can move past that.
Amen.
You don't have to live in the guilt. You don't have to live in the condemnation of that. God didn't come to condemn. He came to Christ, came to forgive.
Amen.
To give his life to forgive us
yes.
of our sins.
Yes.
And we need to stay focused on that and not let Satan feed us up. But let's be mindful that people are cheering us on.
Amen. Boy.
This radio show is like a cheerleading. We're cheering you on. You know, we're cheering on the people listening. You know,
amen.
We talked at the beginning of the show of what it means to each of us, what it means to be on the radio show.
Right.
We're like cheerleaders. And we're cheering the people on.
Amen.
Right, they can do it. They can make it.
Yes.
They can be okay.
Yes.
They can share their story. We're cheering them on.
Amen. Wow. What a wonderful, oh, thank you for sharing that. I can just see you and your parents walking around that track and loving that cheering. That is so cool, and that is such a great picture for us to remember. Wow. Betty, isn't that cool? Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, when I saw that on Facebook yesterday, it warms my heart to know that each and every one of those people who walked around that track is a survivor.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what God wants us to be, is a survivor. No matter of the pain that you're going through, no matter the fire that you're in right now, is that God wants you to just more than survive. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to be a survivor. He wants you to be an overcomer.
Amen.
He wants you to live a life that's free. And to be free is to be free indeed. I keep referring back to that. And what it means to be free is to have the chains that bind you, the things that bring you down. He wants to lift you up. He's
Amen.
So gracious. He's so loving and so compassionate that he cares. And I guess we can't emphasize enough the love that Jesus has for us is greater than our needs.
Right. Wow, absolutely. This whole show is about living free. We are still in that series, Free to Live. I don't know what part this was, 6 or 7 or something like that. But we are free to live when we realize that repentance and living in right standing with God, that means living that life where if God shows us something we need to ask him to forgive us for, that we do it, that we live in right standing. That is really being free to live, when we are free from the burdens of our past, free from the burdens of bad attitudes or unforgiveness or things that have dragged us down in the past. So many people are walking around with all of that in their head and in their heart, and bad habits and things that they do and say that are just not pleasing to God. And God says, this is a time for you to be free to live. Really live the resurrection life because of what Jesus did on the cross. Romans 8:11, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then it will give life. The word there in the Greek is zoe, the God kind of life. It'll give zoe life, God kind of life, to your mortal being. In other words, you're going to find that you have more purpose in your life, more reason to live and get up in the morning, more desire to be like God and to be like Christ. You'll have more love for others. You'll have more of a purposefulness in your life, more passion for God in your life, more desire to get up and every day and become what he wants you to become that day. You each have about a minute. Nan, give us a final thought. We got to get out of here.
Well, I just want to let the people know that the gifts and the positive things that he'll give us, we can have it. I just happened to look over where Jackson had eaten his food, and he ate exactly half of his bowl. Half. He didn't eat all of it. He ate half of it, which is unusual. And I thought of, you know, sometimes we don't grasp on totally 100% to what God has to us. We only take half for whatever reason.
Right.
But I want to encourage people, they can take it all.
Oh,
take the whole thing.
Take
it
all.
It is available for them.
Woo! Thank you, Nan, for being on and those wonderful poems. If any of you want any of those poems, just send me a quick email, pastor@bohmglobal.com, or text me at 727-888-4171. Any of you that have prayer requests, send them to Betty. She'll receive them. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Shell, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Again, or you can text directly to me, 727-888-4171. Betty, final thought. You got 30 seconds. Sorry, we're running out of time.
That's okay. I want to, again, thank Beacon of Hope Ministries for being an outreach with God's love.
Amen.
And one of the things that we want people to remember is that where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
That's what we're all
about.
That's
what Beacon is about. And if you need a home church, a pastor who preaches the Word of God, I suggest you get a hold of Pastor Marcia at BOHM Globe, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Nan, I love you. Thank you for being on the radio today. I appreciate you and all that you stand for the body of Christ.
It was a great show with both of you. Betty from Indiana, Nan from right here in Clearwater, Florida. God bless both of you. Also, don't forget Wednesday night, if you're in the Clearwater area, come to Bible study. Starts at 6 p.m. 3580 Almerton Road. We meet right now at the Ramada Inn. I'm sorry, Red Roof Inn. So you can join us. But also, if you can't do that, join us on Facebook Live every Wednesday night at 7:30 for 15 or 20 minutes of the Word of God. It's not far to Jesus, and we're glad you've joined us. This has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Nan bringing you the Word of God today. God bless every one of you. See you next week right here at 3 o'clock. We'll be here. Will you? We hope you will. God bless you. Sure.